Okay. Well, yes, I'll add my word here of thanksgiving as well, too. That was quite an army over the last few days, that not only a lot of work was put in for weeks beforehand, and then the days of, and just everyone being involved, some suffering in the weather, others ministering indoors and doing crucial things, and yet the Lord gets all the glory. He did a work, and we had some unsaved people here that heard the gospel, so just praise the Lord for that. And then also, Brother Dan's asking prayer for Ruth Hill, 91, and close to passing, but in need of salvation, so be in prayer for her. All right, yes, Kathy?
I don't know. Sierra and Isabel have mentioned it, but they're going up to the winter conference.
Okay.
The 21st through the 25th.
To teach this year.
Okay.
So we're in prayer for them because that's a big ministry up there.
Okay. All right, so Sierra and Isabel going to the Chinese retreat, 21st through 25th, so God will use them. Okay, very good. Let's be in prayer for Mary Moore. She fell last night and broke her hip. And so she had surgery this morning. And they were able to put a rod in her leg and several bolts in her hip and things like that. So she has she'll be in the hospital down in Joplin for several days until she can come home. So I know Moores would appreciate your prayers for her. So. Anyone else like to? Yes, Charlotte? Oh, well, good. Oh, neat. So, Charlotte, praising the Lord for provision, taking care of her. So, all right. Anyone else? Yes.
I've got a praise and a prayer request. The Lord's just really given us a lot of really big unexpected blessings this week. And it was a blessing getting to be part of the Living Nativity last night. And even having Hadassah in the choir with us, she didn't know all the words of the songs, but she was doing her very best. So that was sweet. But then also the prayer request is Linda Stevick, the pastor's wife over at Emmanuel Baptist. She has been having some health issues, and I think she might have COPD.
Okay. All right. So Ashley praising the Lord for many unexpected blessings and also asking prayer for Glenda Civics, possibly dealing with COPD. So pastor's wife over there at Emmanuel. So be in prayer for her. All right. Very good. Yes, Jennifer? Okay, all right, so cancer, right? Is that the, or not even sure about that. No? Okay. Really, okay. Okay, wow. Okay, wow. So asking prayer for Charlie's sister in the hospital and had a stroke, so. Be in prayer for them as you guys are still planning to travel and be able to talk to her. So, in need of salvation as well. So, and her name, Marilyn. Okay. Yes, Joyce? Rest. Amen. So, Joyce, just praising the Lord for His providence, and also pray, I guess we can pray for those evangelistic cards that go out, so that God will use those. That's how I clean, by the way, too. Let it pile up until I get irritated, and then clean all this up. So, it's not how my wife cleans. All right. Yes, sir. Neat. Good. So, Ernie, praising the Lord for a good conversation with a nephew that's battling cancer. Leaning on the Lord at this time. So, good. Good. All right. Anyone else? I don't see any other Brock, so I'm going to praise the Lord for Alex and Mary making in safely, and we're glad they can be here for a couple weeks through the Christmas holidays. So that's a real, real blessing. So, yeah, Sam has made it. So I guess, oh, okay. All right, yeah, so Ryan's grandfather that passed away, the funeral is this Friday, right? And so Traveling Mercy is there. So. Okay. All right. And then, very good. Anyone else to add to these? All right. Going once. Oh,
praise.
Yes, go ahead.
The
yeah.
Lord bless with my eye.
Yes.
I mean, I could work the next day at the thing, you know, and all. No restrictions, so praise God.
That is amazing. Yes. That is really neat. Good. So, praising the Lord for one eye down and or one eye up and one to go. So, so very good.
Thank you for your prayer.
Good, good. So, that's coming up in less 2 weeks from a week from Thursday. Huh? So,
yes.
So I'll pray for Kathy and the second one. So, okay. Anyone else? Still time. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and take our Bibles. We'll have a short reading again today as we're finishing up Romans chapter 11. We'll go ahead and read verse 33 through verse 36. All right, anyone need more time? Just kind of a quick summary of the high point or the climax, the great Mount Everest of the book of Romans right here in the doctrinal section. We've climbed the summit and we've found the great glory of God's salvation how he's able to bring forth his righteousness in the fact that we are unrighteous. And he has to condemn sin, and yet he's able to find a way to do that perfectly and restore everything. And there's even more than what Romans, you know, even talks about. But it's just what we want to have this expression, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. God and his plans, they just cannot be figured out. And that's true for the big picture. That's true in our lives as well. And we've been kind of rejoicing in that. And so we've come to this point of seeing our salvation and that great climax in terms of that in chapter 8 with the fact that we're not going to be condemned, that we're never going to be separated. And there's those five unanswerable questions that says, you know, who can separate us from the love of God? You know, if God be for us, who can be against us? We have these great assurances that are a great comfort. And then we saw how chapters 9 through 11 demonstrates that God is faithful to keep his promises, even to Israel, who has in unbelief rejected the promises of God, but that does not make the promises of none effect, that God is going to fulfill everything that he said. And so then chapters 9 through 11 has shown the righteousness of God in bringing Israel back to himself and fulfilling his promises. And really, in all of this, we see God's plan and his working towards the Gentiles and to the Jews, that while he was working with the Jews, the Gentiles were in unbelief. And while he's working with the Gentiles, the Jews are in unbelief. And he's concluded us all in unbelief so that he might have mercy on all of us. And this is a wisdom that we would not have been able to understand or ascertain by ourselves. And so we've kind of come down to this final conclusion. For of him and through him and to him are all things. And that's a phrase that that's worth memorizing right there. To put that as a template over every situation in your life. Everything that takes place in my life or the entirety of my life. I've been doing some things with creation, answers in Genesis and creation, different things. And they have what's called the golden ratio and the golden angle. And they have these little calipers that you can actually, it's a 1 to 1.63 or something like that. Maybe Alex knows what it is. basically what those calipers do is you open it up and there's a middle one in the middle. And so as whatever distance that is, this always stays in the same ratio to it so that the golden ratio is the same. And you can apply it to anything, and you can actually, what's really fascinating is that the ratio, let me see if I can get this right, it's all in our body, and this is kind of pretty cool, but from here to the, from your elbow to here, this is 1, this is 1.6. And the same thing happens in your face. From here is 1, and from here to the top is 1.6, and that's true for everyone. It's true in your fingers. The little finger down here, the first two is 1.6 and the top one is 1. The ratio is true for every person. So what this guy did in the class, what he said, he had these big calipers and he said, and it actually is true within your whole body versus your hips and things. So he'd hold their whole body, put them down on their foot, down to their head, and then he would point, the caliper would point to their belly button. And he would do that. Didn't matter how tall you are, the ratio is still the same. Just God has put this into our human bodies. What I'm saying, what I'm thinking about this is, use this like those calipers. To him and through him, I'm sorry, of him and through him and to him are all things. And it doesn't matter if you shrink it or whatever, you want to apply it to one event in your life, or you want to apply it to the entirety of your life, or you want to apply it to the plan of God for all the ages. It's all true. It's of him. It's through him, it's to him. And that will set our compass right. If we'll take that truth and say, okay, God, this is for you. This is of you. This is through you. And because of that, we come to this final conclusion. To whom be glory forever. And so this is what we want to look at in our final time. Is to just explore the thought that everything is to the glory of God. And we started that last time, We talked about different areas where God told Israel that He chose them so that they would be a glory to His name. He raised up Pharaoh so that He would be honored through Pharaoh. He tells them that He did not destroy them in the wilderness for His name's sake. When they asked for a king and sinned against the Lord in rejecting His rulership, it says the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake. And we looked at the life of Jesus. I think this is where we ended there, where it says, He that seeketh His glory that sent Him, the same is true. So the mark of authenticity of Jesus Christ's life is the fact that in everything that He did, He sought the glory of the one who sent Him and not Himself. That is the crowning achievement of mankind, is to bring glory to God. Sin is defined as falling short of the glory of God. That's the great travesty of sin. Every time I sin, I've besmirched the great name of God. And when we think about the glory, we ought to think in terms of His surpassing excellencies. So that when I think about God, if I don't go, wow, then I'm not thinking right about Him. But God can do things in His Word or in my life or through other people's lives that cause me to think right about Him and cause me to open my eyes and cause me to say, and that's what we talk about when we say glorifying God. Make other people think highly of God as they ought to think. And so I want us to turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, because God has a plan to get Himself glory. And I'm going the wrong way. Ephesians is not in the Old Testament, so. All right, good. Hopefully that'll help somebody else. It says, blessed, chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Go down to verse 11, in whom we all obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. And to go down the halfway through verse 13, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Everything that we just read there is one long sentence. And it's a Trinitarian sentence, starting off with the blessing of God the Father and describing Jesus Christ and His redemption, coming down to being sealed with the Holy Spirit, and a threefold doxology is found in this sentence, to the praise of the glory of His grace. God wants to bring glory to Himself, and how is He going to do it? He gives His Son a people. And through them, He is going to glorify Himself through His mercy towards us. This is God's plan in salvation. If you can turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. These are deep, deep thoughts. Verse 10 says, to the intent, here's the intent of God, that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Isn't that what Romans was praising? How the depth of the wisdom and knowledge of God. And he says, you know what? I want God's purpose is the principalities and powers, and that's referring to angelic beings, spiritual beings, but it's not just talking, that's a phrase that doesn't just mean good angels. It means all the angels. And he says, I want them all to see my wisdom. How? By the church. You see in verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is God's great purpose, to glorify himself through his wisdom through the church. This is a great and glorious thing that we get to be a part of. And so because of this, he has this great prayer coming down to it in verse 20. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. And so concludes Ephesians' doctrinal statements with the very same focus as Romans. To the glory of God. That's what he's doing. That's his work. It's why God says that he's going to answer our prayers. He says, ask in my name and I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It's why he tells us to do what's right. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is what's supposed to be done in the church. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. Just take the words of God and speak them to people. And if anybody minister, okay, we've got some speaking gifts, but then there's others saying, oh, I don't want to speak. All right, God gives you some serving gifts. He said, if you minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Everything that's done in the church, speaking or non-speaking, that covers it all. Let it all be done so that Jesus Christ would be glorified. We all know 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. 2 Thessalonians 1 tells us that he is going to come to be glorified in his saints. And I love the synonym that it puts with it. And to be admired. You know, he wants to be admired by us. That's not self-consuming conceit. That's the perfect one desiring for us to admire his beauty, because he knows that when you and I are admiring him, we are getting the great blessing from him. God never wants something, and that's what's so beautiful about all this. God never wants something that's not good for others, that's not loving. So even his glory is for our good. We've looked at this in terms of the Old Testament prophecies, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Everywhere is going to. And so when we come to Revelation, what did the city have? It didn't need a sun. It didn't need a moon. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. We are going to experience the glory of God.
Amen.
That's what's going to make heaven glorious and beautiful. Not just beautiful, it's going to make it what makes it good. We're going to enjoy it. We're going to be happy because we're seeing the glory of God. You think about the epistolary endings. What I mean by the endings to these books. Romans, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. 2 Timothy, the Lord deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Hebrews 13. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Philippians. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Jude. To the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. We're talking about these are the last words of these books and these epistles, and they're writing and saying, oh yeah, one last thought. This is the thought I want you to carry away of incredible importance. To God be the glory. He gets, I want that. That's where the focus of His people has to be, upon Him and glorifying Him. When we come to Revelation, and we've looked at that, Revelation 1:6 starts off with this benediction of the Father, Son, and Spirit. And it says, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. The praise that's taking place in heaven right now, the beasts are giving glory and honor and thanks to Him that's set upon the throne. They're crying out, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. The large multitude as worshiping before the throne of God, it says, fear God and give glory to Him. This is the praise of heaven. We know these words, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's where everything's heading. That's the culmination of all of the world. In terms of, you know, you think about, you know, we might be in life like a maze, but every twist and turn only has one outcome in mind. And may not, as a world, heading directly toward that outcome. We might be heading over here, but God's got a way, and He's going to get us to this point where every knee bows and every tongue confesses, and God gets the glory. When you think about 1 Corinthians 15. These are some of the most glorious things that describe the future and beyond. It says that when all things are subdued unto Him, that's the Son, then the Son also Himself shall be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. I honestly think part of the language of fullness, spatial aspects of things, God being all in all, is pointing to something more than just physical or metaphysical. I don't even know how to describe it. I think it has the idea of significance. If He fills all in all, that means everything is to Him. I think that's part of it. So no wonder the Bible says, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let's not get our focus off, all right? Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, the mighty man glory in his strength, the rich man glory in his riches. But if you want to glory, let him glory that he knows and understands me. That's what God says in Jeremiah. So my purpose is because I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a part of a holy nation. I'm a part of a peculiar people, that I should show forth the praises of Him who called me out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. That's my goal. That's what everything God puts in my life is, so that I can show forth the praises of God. And so when you live for the glory of God, it really does rob death of its sting. Because I'm going to die. And I'm going to get to go to be a part of what I've always wanted to. Yeah. I'm going to experience the glory of God. And so it's important for us to remember, this is God's great, our great focus is God's great focus. And if it would be wrong for God to purpose anything else, because no passion, no purpose is greater than Himself. he'd get his priorities off. He'd be out of whack if his focus wasn't on his own glory. And, you know, obviously Satan wanted to be God, and that's the temptation that he wants to throw all of us. We want to have the glory. And no creature can be the end of all things, only God. And so one of the things that's helpful in this is that even God's desire for glory is not a selfish glory. It's a loving thing. Because when we find out within the revelation of the Trinity, it's the Father who wants to glorify the Son. And it's the Son who wants to glorify the Father. And the Spirit comes so that he could glorify the Son, so that the Son could glorify the Father. It really is it's a loving thing that takes place within the Trinity. And yet, my highest interest is at stake. And I've kind of alluded to that a little bit. But remember back in Exodus, when he says, Moses said, "Show me thy glory." And he says, "I will make all my goodness to pass before you." When God's glory is at the apex, your highest interests are secured. It's not it that we say God does all things for his glory and for my good. Those two things are not separated. They are one and the same. Now, sometimes things happen in my life that don't feel like good. And yet I know it's still for God's glory. That I'm going through pain. It doesn't feel good, but it's for God's glory. But God has an end in mind that really is going to be for my good, if I'll trust him and believe him. And so there's an aspect here that we have to understand, that God's glory is uniquely revealed in his goodness, in his mercy, in his grace. And that's why he planned and said, "I want to find some unworthy sinners to save so that I can get the glory through this." And so we find that our greatest joys are accomplished through this. You cannot fight against the glory of God. One preacher put it this way: it's like trying to shovel a mountain. You're standing on the mountain, you're going to shovel it out. You're not moving anything anywhere. You have to stand on the mountain to shovel the mountain. God's glory is going to take place. It's going to happen. Let's not fight against it. Let's not resist it. Let's not complain against God. Let's not doubt him and his wisdom. Let's not fail to trace his hand in our lives. Live for the glory of God. And then you will be empowered by it. You'll be enlightened by it. You will experience and know the love of God. The greatest thing that could ever happen, the worst thing that could ever happen to someone, is if they wrote Ichabod over their life. The glory of the Lord has departed. There's no blessing. There's no goodness. What we need for our lives is the glory of God. And so as we come to this, I think that's why he's coming to this conclusion. In this book that is focused on our salvation and all the blessings that God has for us, concludes in the only rightful place, the glory of God. And may God help us. So I'm going to end it there. I'm not going to get started in chapter 12. And you can mark it down in your calendars. We ended Sunday school early, but we can have some more fellowship. And that'll be a good thing. So, all right, you're dismissed. I think so, yeah. I'm playing. Thank you.